Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Stock market is priced for perfection and needs a nearly perfect job number for the month of August to keep this bubble afloat. The S&P 500 is trading at record high valuations. I indicate this many, many times. Price to sales, total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP, the Shiller PE ratio, negative risk premiums, all are flashing bright red. These are the tried and true metrics that let you know how overvalued the stock market is. And these are all simultaneously saying it's at an unprecedented bubble territory. And that is why the most important non-farm payroll report of the year will occur this Friday, September 5th. The forecast is for an increase of 75,000 net new jobs that were created for August. Now, 75,000, around that number, would be a perfect print because it would be weak enough to get the Fed to begin its rate cutting cycle on September 17th. But still be strong enough to, allay any recession fears. However, a non-farm payroll report that was near zero or even below a negative would indeed spark recession fears, which I believe would be a slight negative for stocks. Not a total washout, but a slight negative for stocks. Conversely, what the stock market would really fear is a very strong number. Any number above 150 could and should derail any rate cutting plans from Mr. Powell. By the way, there's a near 100% chance that the Fed's going to cut rates at its September meeting. A print of 150, and that's the last non-farm payroll report that we're going to get before the meeting on September 17th, 150,000 net new jobs created would put any rate cutting scheme to bed. And this, I believe, would be a far more dangerous report outcome because it would send bond yields surging higher. They're already surging higher all over the globe. The U.S. would, those rates are rising here too on the long end, and they would just simply surge. The bond market is already on very thin ice due to inflation and insolvency issues. That insolvency issue in the U.S. was recently exacerbated when Trump's tariffs were deemed to be illegal by a federal appeals court last Friday. Tariffs are set to bring in $172 billion this year, according to the Tax Foundation. That's going to be a nice offset to our out-of-control budget deficits, not put a big dent in it, but at least a kind of a nice offset. And what I find highly ironic here is that Trump fired the head of the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, due to the fact that he viewed the labor market data was being manipulated to the downside to hurt him. Therefore, not only will a strong number now be deemed to be one that's just simply exaggerated to please the president, but it'll be one that is falsified strength, and that's going to prevent the Fed from following through on the president's desire to lower interest rates. It would engender a sell-off in the bond market as well. So prices down, yields higher. And it is the credit markets that surely are the Achilles heel of this equity and real estate bubble. This is because long-term yields are where mortgage borrowing costs are set and where corporate bonds are financed. The last thing this frozen housing transaction market needs is a spike in mortgage costs. Homeowner affordability is already at a record low. Rising mortgage rates would send affordability through the floor of the basement and would expedite the nascent fall in home prices. And with 42% of small companies being unprofitable, those are listed small cap companies being unprofitable and needing to tap the corporate bond market continuously to stay alive, a spike in borrowing costs would send many of these companies belly up. My inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model is built to identify when this bond market debacle will occur before any major damage is done. Make no mistake, there is an equity, credit, and real estate bubble of unprecedented proportions that all exist concurrently for the first time in history. This means that when the bond bubble bursts, there is not much the government can do to stop it from bringing down the whole financial system. I mean, after all, the Pavlovian response on the part of the government in the past, whenever we've had a recession or a downtick in the stock market, is to borrow and print trillions of dollars and throw it at Wall Street to stop the bleeding in asset prices. However, doing so now will only exacerbate the existing insolvency inflation issues. Of course, the Fed can engage and attempt something called yield curve control. I think they will, by promising to print trillions or unlimited dollars. Forget about trillions, unlimited dollars to buy long-term treasuries in order to keep yields from rising. Now, if they do that, and I think they will, the question is, will the selling from foreign governments and domestic funds offset the buying or the willingness to buy from the Fed? And even if the Fed is able to mollify this debacle in bonds and cap the increase in treasury yields, the inflation caused from the very act of massive expansion of credit, will that cause bond yields outside the treasury complex, like municipal bonds and corporate bonds, to soar? That's a pretty much guarantee. I mean, the Fed's not going to be buying, at least not now. They haven't committed to buying municipal and corporate bonds as well. They're only going to buy treasuries. So the inflation is going to send corporate bonds higher and also send municipal bonds higher. So that, does the Fed then assent to buy all that debt as well? Well, then if that's the case, the U.S. dollar is going to actually free fall in value. It's going to crater. And that's going to really affect the state of the economy. Unemployment rates should absolutely soar as inflation wipes out any vestiges that are left in the middle class. Intractable inflation is a salient risk for the first time in U.S. history. And that's the dynamic I see happening. The catalyst that kicks off this unprecedented stagflation isn't going to be a non-farm payroll report print. It's going to be the reaction function to the next recession. It's not here now. My model says that we're not in a recession right now, nor are we about to fall off a cliff. To be clear, we are not talking if there is going to be another recession. It is surely when the next recession arrives. I mean, after all, they haven't repealed the business cycle. What our government has done by delaying a fracture or a tremor or a mild earthquake in the economy by constantly borrowing and printing and papering over every downtick in the stock market and in the economy, what they've done is set us up for a massive earthquake. So it's not when the recession arrives. It's not if another recession arrives. It's when and how deep it's going to be. But when it arrives, it is clear that our Fed, Treasury, and administration have learned nothing from their past errors. They've learned nothing. Our government is going to revert to the same strategies as they have learned to do since the NASDAQ collapse, which is zero interest rate policies, quantitative easing, and helicopter money. The salient difference this time around is, for the first time ever, they're going to be imposing these policies on an economy that is already suffering from debilitating debt and deficits as a percentage of GDP, and an inflation that is very stubborn, stubbornly above 2% for 51 months in a row. And that's going to lead to a scenario where we have very weak GDP growth, but it's also a scenario where we're going to see record high rates of inflation. So a couple of data points I want to go over before we end the podcast. For the first time since 1996, the percentage of gold that foreign central banks hold is greater than their holdings of U.S. treasuries. The percentage of gold holdings is now about 30% for foreign central banks, which may sound high, but not when you hear and learn that back in 1980, the percentage of holdings of gold from foreign central banks was 75%. In other words, even though foreign central banks have been in the process of eschewing treasuries for gold over the past few years, they still have a very long way to go before they reach where they were back in 1980. Gold and inflation hedges have held a significant weighting in our portfolio allocation for a while. Remember this Wall Street's buy and hold 60-40 target date fund philosophy? They become total disasters during recessions, depressions, and in runaway inflations. But that is where Penta Portfolio Strategies shines the brightest. For now, we continue to remain net long equities with U.S. aerospace and defense shares, international equities that include Mexico, India, and Australia, precious metals and inflation hedges, think energy, gold, platinum. We have an overweight position in short-term treasury, so we're positioned on the correct part of the yield curve to get a lot of yield and some duration exposure, which makes our principal go higher. In other words, this is how we think. This is what the model says. While there may be some, and there probably is some upside left in this massive bubble, reckless risk, taking on an extraordinary amount of overweight to equities, it's just not worth the reward at this time. Meanwhile, we remain myopically focused on the credit markets for our cue when to take on a net short position in the portfolio. Stay tuned.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.